Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
The part of the show I always look forward to when I stand in, chatting to my Mikey, Rolene Marks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Cheers. So lovely to hear your voice. And you can't see me just as well because I look like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Very apropos this time of the year. But I do have a big, big smile.
Well, that's good to hear. And there's so much news we need to get through. So we've crossed a little earlier. The last insert I'm really looking forward to, but let's start off with this free trade deal that's been ratified between Israel and the UAE. That sounds almost game-changing.
It is game-changing. This is huge, not just for Israel and the United Arab Emirates, but for our region. So this was ratified by both the United Arab Emirates and Israel. And it was done yesterday. The Emirati Minister of State for Foreign Trade said yesterday, he said, it's a major step in our foreign trade agenda, and it will eliminate or reduce tariffs on 96% of products, providing a major boost to our industrial and service sectors, which is very, very big, because here in Israel, import duties, the tariffs that you pay are astronomical. So this is our first big free trade deal with an Arab country. It was signed last year. Well, it actually was signed this year. We're still in 2022. It's been such a long year. It feels like a decade. And it really, really brings with it extraordinary development. So what kind of goods will be impacted by this? It'll be things like food. Very important, as we all face rising cost of living crises, medicine and fertilizers. And I'm sure as it goes on, we will see more and more of these of products added to the list. But really, really a game changer, and just goes to show the benefits of making peace, signing these Abraham Accords. They are paying dividends in so many ways, and this is just one of them.
Very important is that Iran has purportedly stopped channeling funds to Palestinian terror factions. Why is this, and what impact is it going to have?
Well, this is quite extraordinary news. I had to read it twice. I thought it was, you know, April Fool's Day or some kind of Purim spiel. But this is being reported by Palestinian paper Al Quds. This is what they are reporting. So it does come from a reputable source, certainly within Palestinian circles. And the quote, the paper quotes unnamed sources from Lebanon saying that the factions, and they don't list which factions, but we know from history, from following the money trail, that Hamas is funded by Iran, that Palestinian Islamic Jihad are funded by Iran, that the Popular Front of the Liberation of Palestine, or the PFLP, as some of you may know them, are funded by Iran. So apparently these factions are experiencing a financial crisis. You know, it's not due to rising living costs, Chad. You know, we could have advised them how better to invest their money rather than in terror and terror infrastructure. But the source goes on to say that what these factions do is they use the money to pay salaries and cover the cost of various activities. Could you imagine seeing the balance sheet for that? And apparently Iran has stopped sending the money. So Iran is the largest state sponsor of terror. And, you know, we have to wonder if they're not channeling the money to support Palestinian factions, before we get too excited, what are they using that money for?
Yeah, it's we just hope it's not disinformation. You say it's from a trusted source. We can only hope that there is peace in the Middle East without state-sponsored actors receiving funding from countries such as Iran. But I think Iran's got enough of its own problems at the moment, and that may just be a very good thing, because there's this talk of perhaps regime change. Whether or not it will happen in Iran, because they have a very strong authoritarian government, still is to be seen going into 2023. But with these distractions at home, and with them having to reconsider their international policy, perhaps this is the good news that we've been waiting for. But moving on to the story... Sorry.
We can only hope. You know, we also had a story breaking today that another Iranian activist was executed. The Iranian authorities are saying for his role in the protest, and he reportedly stabbed two security officers. But do we believe that? You know, the jury's out on that one.
Yeah, so I'm sorry I interrupted you there, but I'm so excited for our last story because, you know, all these people, their skeletons are coming out. They're showing their true colors. And it's not just this person in particular. It's those that are around him that he seeks out for either brand building, or because he genuinely likes them and wants their advice and wants to share time with them. But of course, I'm talking about Kanye West, who has won the StopAntisemitism.org's Anti-Semite of the Year Award. Now, that's nothing to be proud of. So I'm sorry, and he doesn't like to be known as Kanye West either, but he'll be ever remembered as an anti-Semite. Tell us a little bit about this organization and what this means for Kanye West being officially branded and labeled by this organization as the Anti-Semite of the Year.
Well, first of all, let's take a look at who StopAntisemitism.org is. It's an organization that monitors, and they do a sterling job of it, monitoring and reporting incidents of anti-Semitism all over the world. If you are on Twitter, I would encourage you to follow StopAntisemitism.org. So for the last couple of years, they've been running a poll, who gets your anti-Semite of the Year Award. And I think one year the illustrious winner was David Duke. He's the head of the KKK. So to be on a par with people from the KKK, you must be truly, truly repugnant. But Kanye West, or Ye, as he prefers to be called these days, he beat out Muhammad Hadid. That is the father of Bella and Gigi Hadid, the two supermodels. They themselves also not averse to sharing some anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, revision of history, Holocaust denial, and a whole lot of things. And John Minadeo II, he is the founder of the far-right Goyim Defense League. They're very, very famous for their horrendous activities outside Auschwitz death camp that saw the Auschwitz memorial call in the authorities to have them dealt with, hanging signs above the highway in Los Angeles saying Kanye West was right. There you go. We're starting to connect the dots. And these horrendous leaflets that we see disseminated around cities in the United States blaming Jews for everything. You know, those leaflets that say the Jews are to blame for everything about the war in Ukraine. The Jews are to blame for absolutely everything about COVID. I'm not exaggerating. That is how these leaflets are written, and so on and so on. But by an overwhelming majority, yay or nay, as I like to call him, or Kanye just shut up already, he has won this award. So we don't need an acceptance speech from him. In fact, we'll be quite happy if he just shuts up. And I think this is one award where I don't think we're going to see Taylor Swift or anybody running on stage to interrupt him. But, you know, all jokes and snark and sardonic humor aside, he has made some of the most appalling comments over the last couple of months. But more than that, he has actually galvanized the far right in America. You know, when you are on their media platforms in interviews, and even they are shocked by what you are saying, then you are truly repugnant. But just as worrying is he has given a tailwind to sects amongst the African American community who believe in what we call the Black Hebrew Israelites, who also have made some very, very inflammatory comments. He has given a tailwind to them, and it's creating a very, very worrying new phenomenon in the United States.
So, Rolene, with 3 minutes to spare, I want to talk about the elephant in the room. And that's, of course, the fact that Kanye West, together with another far-right bigot, Nicholas Fuentes, had dinner with Trump. And when you start looking at the headlines, New York Times said Trump's far-right embrace. The Insider said Kanye West and Trump's anti-Semitism may even pull the Christian nationalists apart. And, of course, that was a large support base for Trump. Let's talk about Trump in the midst of this Kanye West fallout.
Well, let's do, because it is a conversation that I think we need to have. You know, people try and play down Trump by saying, but he's done good things for Israel. The fact that he is not castigating West and Fuentes is extremely worrying, something that has cost him a lot of his supporters in the Republican Party who actually were Jewish. And he went on just several days ago to question the loyalty of Jewish leaders. Now, when you start using that language, you are veering dangerously over the line into the questioning and the accusations of dual loyalty. And I know that there will be many people saying, yes, but his daughter's a Jew and he's done great things for Israel. It doesn't mitigate the fact that he has entertained two gross anti-Semites and has made these comments himself. And unfortunately, that is far outweighing any work that he has done for the state of Israel. And you know, saying, but his daughter's Jewish, is also veering dangerously into that, but some of my best friends are Jewish argument.
I was about to say to you, in South Africa, we still have institutionalized racism, and people always say, but my best friend is Black. I think this is a deciding point in American politics, because support for the far right is now showing that support can actually be for people who are outright bigots. And what is saddening for me is that these bigots are no longer talking in whispers in private. They've come out in the open and they're proudly displaying their racism and their bigotry. And people like Kanye West and Nicholas Fuentes and such cannot be allowed or tolerated to have any podium.
Well, I can't put it better than you.